David said, "Help, Lord, the water has come into my soul." And just like a submarine, if it wants to dive, it has to have weight and water to take it down. It's the same way with us, but in a negative way. There are things that come into our feelings and emotions and will that bring us down. And all of a sudden, we are not living a life of joy. We're down at the bottom. And you know what I have found out, friend, when we're down at the bottom? We say things we ought not. We become a bottom feeder. We say things, repeat things. That's a sign that I need to rejoice again. None of us are exempt from having to do this. When we get to heaven, it'll be completely different. But until then, we've got to, again, I say, rejoice. Philippians 4:4, Paul's writing this from the Philippian jail. He's in the lowest of the prison cells where the sewer runs through there. I actually saw a picture of the cell that they believe Paul was in. I wouldn't even put an animal in there. And I began to think, now, Paul, did you write this because you're a great apostle? Did you write this because Jesus appeared to you? Paul, how could you say that? Again, I say rejoice. He's writing to the Philippian church. He's trying to encourage them. You know something? I'll take encouragement for someone who's in a prison trying to encourage me. In other words, he's living the life. He's learned that, again, I say rejoice, is crucial to not only my victory, but my connection to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He says in another place. He says, for me to write this, it's not grievous, because it's a consistent ad infinitum that all of us must walk in as believers. There's no one exempted here from water to flood your soul and your feelings and your emotions, and all of a sudden you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like loving, you don't feel like coming to church, you don't feel like anything because we pulled down. But you know what, honey? That's where we used to be before I knew Jesus. Down, depressed, discouraged. No one likes me. But I tell you what, my Jesus didn't die and rise the third day for me to be like a submarine at the bottom full of weight that can't get up. He said, I'm going to show you something. The Apostle Paul said, listen, if you'll rejoice again, you'll live a life you never thought you could live. Give him a praise, somebody here. I feel like preaching, I'm going to preach for a while. See, we must understand what Paul's trying to say here. He's saying this, to rejoice is to reconnect. Reconnect to what? The presence of God. Yeah. Do you know you and I can disconnect from the presence of God? Doesn't mean God left me. Doesn't mean I don't have the Holy Spirit. But my feelings and my emotions. How many know sometimes they seem to be as powerful as God? They're not. But listen, emotions and feelings, thoughts, they can kind of just suppress the Spirit within us. You see, when we rejoice again, we're connecting again. Doesn't mean I'm unsaved. It just means my soul, which is still being transformed, has blocked the presence of God. See, it's very easy in church to get it, but can you take it home with you? Can you take it on your job? Can you take it at work? Can you take it when others mistreat you? When others cancel you? When others don't want to be with you? And you feel the rejection? Can you still take this? You see, that's the test. The test is not in the church service. The test is in the prison with smelly stuff running all around your life and darkness and cold. Can we still again rejoice? We all will come to the same place. We all will have to deal with this. Many times, despondency will try to come. If you look at David's Psalms, half of them are about him being depressed and discouraged and full of fear. But yet David learned something. He said, I will give the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. We are living in an hour where people are scared to death what's coming upon the world. But you know what? We're not going to live there because we have a Savior, amen, that we're connected to. 1 Chronicles 13:3. David, when he became king, this was his first thing he did. Didn't build a house. He didn't put vineyards in. This is the first thing David did. He said, let us bring again the ark of God to us. For we did not seek it in the days of Saul. In other words, King Saul, whether he had God's presence or not, didn't care. He didn't seek. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that he sought God. And I want to tell you, Saul speaks of the flesh. And there's something about our flesh, and one of the reasons it's not going to heaven, because our flesh can be very content going weeks without the presence of God, even as believers. We're trying to fight through these emotions. Someone hurt us. Someone offended us. And we don't have the presence of God like we did. How do we know we don't have it? Because where's the joy? See, joy is the evidence that I have the presence of God. If I don't have any joy, then the presence of God is gone. David brought the ark up. Why? Because that's how he connected with God. And David was smart enough as a commander. He knew that when he had the ark of God, the enemies of God were terrified. And when they carried that ark on the priest of the shoulders of the priest, and they went into an area where the enemy ran because God was with them. You see, I need a confidence in this hour that the presence of God is going to surround me in my thoughts. But don't think that the ballast of vain imaginations and sinfulness and hurt won't try to get in and cause you to throw your hands up and say, what's it all about, Alfie? I'm talking to church folks. I'm talking to believers. Many in the last days, the Bible says, will leave the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Talk about people that were in the faith. People who were in the house of God. But see, what happens if I don't rejoice again, I feed my bitter root. Church, why don't you go to church? I'm going, this, that, that. You sit home and fumigate. And then it fumigates your children because a bitter root defiles many. Then I say stuff about the preacher and say stuff about the deacon in the church. My kids are listening. So all of a sudden they grow up. They want nothing to do with God or the church. The amen are on me. But guess what? We are, if you're in joy, you don't say the wrong thing. If the presence of God is on you, we watch what we say. David brought the ark again. Look at somebody and say, bring the ark again. See, our soul can be disconnected from God's presence. There is a disconnect. How many have been on your phone, computer, and you're disconnected? Okay. I've been working out at the gym, and all of a sudden, disconnected. That music is getting me going. I'm watching someone say, disconnected. See, we think that I can't be disconnected from God. Well, if you know Him, positionally you can, but you can be disconnected from His presence. Where is it? David, God, where are you? Job said this. He said, I looked for God on the left. I couldn't find Him. I looked for Him on the right and I couldn't find Him. But then Job begins to rejoice again in this fact. But he knoweth the way that I take. You see, even though that's not how I pray, that's not like I'm praising God. He's acknowledging God, which is exalting God, which is praise. But he knows the way I take. See, he's already connecting back after his friends are, gosh, I got to meet this man in heaven. Some of the things I go through compared to that are babyish. I mean, this man lost everything, but yet he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I see wars and rumors of wars. A place over there I bet was for 3 months starting the church. Precious people, but I know my Redeemer liveth. I see the state of our nation and the morality. And who cares if you get married? Who cares if, whatever. Guess what? I know my Redeemer liveth. I believe in the prayers of our forefathers, the prayers that established our nation upon the Word of God. And the Supreme Court can say abortion is legal and lesbian is legal, all that stuff. Guess what? My Redeemer liveth. And people can mock the church and they can say it's just full of people just waiting to die. But guess what? My Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer liveth. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Ain't no gates of hell going to prevail. Give them a praise. I'm preaching better than yourself. I'm going to give you 4 things. I'm going to teach this now. Number one, how do I, again, I say rejoice. Number one, reconnect to His love. Think about how much He loves you. Think about the price you paid. The Via Dolorosa. Men plucked His beard from His face. Watch the passion again where they began to whip Him. And this time watch all of it because that really happened. Connect to His love. That's how you rejoice again. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable. You don't have to see Him to love Him. We have the Word that we see. Who having not seen you love, and whom though you might not see Him, you believe in, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. You know, the Bible says for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. But you know, I heard someone preach on this. We always look at it like it's our joy. But actually, they said that's Jesus' joy. That there's going to be such joy when He sees you on Him. It's not going to be like, okay, man, good job, come on in. For the joy of meeting you face to face. Has there ever been somebody you wanted to meet face to face? Did it bring joy? How do you remember that series, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman? Remember that? I was in an airport in Chicago. I'm sitting there at the restaurant, and I hear this woman walking, this other woman, with a British accent. Now on the show, she doesn't use it, but I'm looking and say, that must be Dr. Quinn. Got closer. That is Dr. Quinn. And she sat like 2 tables right over from me. I was going to go over and say, hey, Dr. Quinn, can I have your autograph? I almost did it, but I didn't. I wish I had. But that would have been pretty cool, huh? Been pretty cool because she had got to meet me, right? Oh, you thought it was me meeting her. No, it would have been joy to her to meet me. Oh, y'all got to be on the same page with me here. How about the next one? Reconnect to His joy. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, there's a path. There's a path of life that the flesh, the devil, and the world will try to knock us off. Get back into my works, or get back into how much knowledge I know. No, there's a path. David said, lead me in a simple path. David said, guide me with your hand upon me. Psalm 23, the path. He leads me down this path. But you know, during that time, there might be some things that come into my soul. Some of the greatest attacks I've ever had is on Monday after I preach. After I preached out, prophesied out, prayed out. And I'm almost like I expect something. Because see, the devil knows your vulnerability.
And he knows when you're weak.
And he knows what really hurts you. You see, you can go through one trial and it's not that bad, but if the same person goes, another person goes through that trial, it blows them away. Because we're all made differently, you see. But all of us must rejoice. Well, I can rejoice by myself. Well, you can, but honey, you better be around other people rejoicing more than you are. The new wine is found in the cluster, not an individual, independent type of autonomy away from the body of Christ or the local church. You're not going to have that. Can you imagine this morning if this Christian was here and the worship team and you were the only one here? It would not have been the same dynamic. Because God inhabits the praises of people, and the more praise he gets, the more he comes. Amen. So you can't do it alone, honey. On a submarine, man, there's many men on there to keep that thing in the right direction, up and down and come back. There's many men on there with different skills and ability. How about Jonah? Jonah got on a ship. Guess what? He fled from the presence of God. And when he did it, he lost the presence of God. How do I know he lost the presence of God? Because he went to sleep, honey. Listen. If I'm on a boat and it's a calm day, I can get sick. He's in a ship that's going back and forth hour after hour. He's sound asleep. Sound asleep. See, you lose the presence of God when you go to sleep spiritually. Finally, someone comes down there. Wake up, Mom. What you doing? That's Jamaican. I don't think it was a Jamaican ship. Wake up, Mom. Call on your God. What are you doing? He says, well, okay, here's my story. And then oh my gosh. Are we a piece of work or what? This guy's a prophet. Oh, well, you know, I'm a Hebrew and I'm running from God and I didn't really like this cruise ship anyway. Didn't like the food, the captain, but you know, y'all just throw me overboard. Well, that's a low sin, isn't it? He's got some heaviness in his submarine. He's right down at the bottom. Did Jonah think he was going to be swallowed by a whale? Or was he ending his life? God didn't tell him a whale was going to come. You're thrown in the water, I'm sure Seth would agree, you're thrown in the water 15, 20 foot high waves, you're not going to live. And there are people that are dealing with things that got into their emotions. They don't even want to live. But the thing is, you can get rid of that heaviness and ballast. Thank God for the whale. Actually, it might not have been a whale since God prepared the fish. So God says, okay, Jonah, you ran from my presence. I know you got an attitude against the Ninevites. I understand that. I understand all that. But still, I'm God. And you know what? You didn't like the cruise ship, but you really ain't going to like the whale ship. How many know God can put us in situations to do his will? How do we believe that? I had my first rock and roll band in the 8th grade. In 10th grade, we played at our sophomore auction. Played in college. And when I was 12 years old, I was with my friends fishing down at Cuca Lake, back in New York. 12 years old. All of a sudden, I said to my friends, I'm going to be a minister one day. And everybody laughed. I laughed too. See, God's calling and placement on your life was before you were born. So I ran from God. Didn't have Christian parents. But you know, God's been worse. He's towards them. God's grace found you. You're here today because of the grace of God. And see, the path that God has you on is a path of life, not death. We say to each other all the time, the path of the righteous. It's like the noonday sun. It gets brighter and brighter. And it might be a dark day then. It might have been something happened to try to pull us down. But my Bible tells me my path is getting brighter. Amen. I said my path is getting brighter. Amen. Doesn't matter if I have season, if I'm dealing with something, my path is getting brighter. God said that. God said, I'll get rid of the ballast. I'll pick you up where you belong. I'll heal that which was hurting you. I'll give you that which you don't have. If you, again, I say, rejoice. You know what praising God does too? It reconnects us to our future. See, I'm just passing through. Too many folk living like they're going to live here forever. Too many God's folks living like I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to tell you, go out to look and see those redwoods in California, thousands of years old, and go see the ocean. They're going to outlast all of us. So, I rejoice again because I'm going to connect to my future. These few little years on my life, on this life compared to eternity, all there, they do matter, but if I was to take a rope, look up to that, have Michael hold it, and have Tony go a mile down the road with that rope, and that symbolizes eternity, and I put a little mark, a quarter of an inch of black, that represents our life here on earth. I'm connected to the future. Huh? See, I'm going to be good looking in heaven. You haven't seen the kid in heaven yet. I mean, we haven't seen you in heaven. See, I'm not going to look like this in heaven. That wouldn't be heaven. It would be buffed. Every line and perfectly shaped. Guess what? When I get up there, I'm going to be welcomed. You're going to be welcomed. You're going to be welcomed by Jesus. You're going to be welcomed by loved ones that knew Christ when I'm before you. Now, I believe this. Can't prove it. I hope it's true. God might have one of the saints of old that you've looked to be right there. God is beyond what we can think. So who would you like to have? Not only your family, friends, who would you like, what saint would you like to be there to greet you with? And you know, they won't even have to introduce because once you get there, we'll just know. Which one? Who would you like? Kristen, who would you like to be? Think about it. So what saint would you want to be there with your family at heaven to greet you? Besides Jesus. Okay. Well, Kathy, how about you? Ruth? How many ladies would like Ruth? Men? Clubby, who would you like?
Moses.
Ben? Why Moses? Something about it connected to your future.
Well, Pastor, I don't want to be so spiritually minded that I'm no earthly good. Listen, honey, you're already earthly good. We're already too earthly. We need to be more spiritually minded. Because spiritually minded doesn't mean I'm in this la-la land. What it means is I have the right concept and understanding of truth. That God, who established eternity, is going to take me there. It's not walking around in some type of a super spiritual fog and not relating to things. And if I start to get through the anointing, whatever, and guess what? I got to take the garbage out when I get home. Reconnect to your future. So when I'm praising God when I don't feel like it, when I'm rejoicing, connecting, showing Father God, can't wait to see. See, until the Spirit and the Bride say, come, we're not going anywhere. And sometimes we're so caught up with the things of this world, we're saying, yeah, I want to, but please wait, Spirit. Please wait, Bride, I'm not ready. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. He said, but rejoice that you're going somewhere. Because none of us know our time. None of us. Our time. Reconnect. And as the Christian comes, how do we, again I say rejoice, sing and rejoice with him. You know that God sings over you? You know God sings over you? Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you. Listen. You know, I have a God that's singing for me. I could again rejoice. My feelings, the heaviness of the ballast of those feelings from being hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, the ballast of the emotional upset, the ballast of the past emotional hurts, the ballast of mental and emotional struggles, the ballast of things I should not have done and I failed, things I should not have said, the ballast of the weight of that can be loosed like that. And all those submarines, and that valve, when it's time to come to the surface, they blow in this high-pressure water or air and pushes it out. That air represents the Spirit of God. And how many times, if we'll be honest with you, we were like that submarine in the bottom of the ocean, and we tried to get through emotions, we tried to get through depression, tried to get through discouragement. And that's when the sweet love of Jesus Christ sends his Spirit, because it's not by might or power. And he begins to blow into that ballast room. And he begins to take those things out and show you, listen, it ain't over yet. It ain't over till it's over. And all of a sudden, you start rising up. You get up early. You got to walk. You got to skip in your feet. All of a sudden, you realize that God is my strength. Why? Because I couldn't do it. David said, my enemy was too strong for me. God comes by his Spirit to his children to blow out that stuff. And I want you to know, you can rejoice again. You can again, I say rejoice, because God is with you. He's singing over you. Give him a praise as you stand up this morning. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. God loves you. Pastor, do you have to live this? Are you kidding? How can I rejoice again? How can I find that place again? You do it because he's watching over. Come on, lift your hands, Heavenly Father, as we worship one more time. Let your Spirit blow out the heavy ballast. many people suffering at the bottom of the ocean. Lord, some are wavering. God, help us by your Spirit as we worship you. Bring us back again to the surface where the air of your presence surrounds us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship you.
See that other hand.
greatest decision you'll ever make is where to spend eternity. So while we're praying, you lifted your hand up, just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me. And rose the third day. I accept you today. As my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. I accept him today. My sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for those that have just prayed that prayer for the first time, that you'd fill them with your Spirit, cause them to understand the greatest decision ever made, they've just made. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you raise your hand,